All right, Earl, do you want to do like an intro?
Sure.
We're here with...
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Ready to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Welcome to the Sports Parent Podcast, where we talk about sports and parenting and the intersection between sports and parenting, hosted by bestselling author Jeff Perlman.
And Catherine Perlman, also known as the
Just
Family
say
Coach.
Okay. So we took a little hiatus.
How was your vacation, honey?
The vacation was great. Well, we had a little summer hiatus because we decided to take a trip to Tokyo.
That is true.
Yeah. So our daughter had her bat mitzvah this year. It was very exciting. And as is the tradition among many a Jew, there is a big party. And we decided to go a different route. So we asked Casey where she would like to go anywhere in the world in lieu of a party. And she picked Tokyo.
And the cool thing is my cell phone ringer when you call is Mr. Roboto.
That's not a cool thing.
No, it's so cool because it's Domo Arigato Mr. Roboto. So I actually felt comfortable speaking Japanese, even though I don't speak the language. So that song, thank you, Tommy Shaw and Styx, made me comfortable.
Yeah. So anyway, so we were away for a couple of weeks, which was amazing. We had a wonderful trip. The kids rallied and were great tourists.
You would say that one of our philosophies is do over buy, meaning... If you have the choice, experience or material item, you go with the experience.
No question about it, on many levels. But I also think there's so many things the kids got out of that trip. You know, just the love of travel, of culture, of food, togetherness with family. It was just great.
Yeah, I agree. There's something about experiencing not just like the big things, but train travel, you know, lugging your...
Oh my gosh, train travel. We must have taken maybe 50 trains in our 2 weeks of travel. They definitely experienced that.
Right. And also like laughing at you trying to speak to people in Japanese, you know, the ill-fitting clothes and you know, weird food. And there's just something really bonding. You know, as your kids get older, it's a lot harder to force them to bond because they want to do other things. They don't know. And here you are, you're on this trip. There's nowhere else to go. You're not just going to roam on your own or text your friends. And it was just really liberating, I thought, and also really like a nice way of our family sort of bonding.
Yeah, well, whenever we take trips, our family definitely reconnects because there's lack of other people and our kids really get together and we have funny jokes as a family. But last week I took a trip to New York with just our daughter. And while we were on our way home, I said, oh, this was so much fun. This is our first, you know, mother-daughter trip. We should maybe do something like this every year. And she was like, yeah, you know, maybe. And then she said, but I don't know where we would go. And so we just kind of left at that. And then later we were boarding the plane and I said something about, I picked some place. I can't even remember where it was. And she said, yeah, but that wouldn't really be fun without Emmett. Yeah, that was so sweet.
That's nice.
It broke my heart because she doesn't really want to be alone with me, but that's okay. But she wants to be with her brother. So
I'd be
I thought
alone
that was.
With you.
Well, that's good.
I'll take a trip with
you. Let's ditch the kids and
if
let's
anyone
go
wants
away
a babysit out there, yeah. We're game.
Go on vacation. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so that's all about our hiatus. We're back now.
And stronger than ever. And we begin the show with our most loyal sponsor, B2 Design. B2 Design takes pride in planning, strategizing, and organizing your online content to make your message clear and concise. B2 Design works with clients of all sizes. The Family Coach uses B2 Design to create her website and logo.
Which I love.
And my website was also created, designed, and soon to be updated by B2 Design. For more information on building a beautiful new website or updating an old one, get in touch with Brant Beaupre at Brant at B, the letter B, TWODesign.net. And I also want to mention that my book, Gunslinger, comes out October 25th.
That's exciting.
Biography of Brett Favre.
Very soon. All right. So what's
did you
up?
Get, let me see this. Did you get annoyed at me going for a while? Favre.
Ugh. You promised you weren't going to do it.
I haven't done it for a long time.
So, but you said never.
Sorry.
Okay. So what's up this week, girl?
You know, to begin with, a very, very, very sad story. Really sad story. It's interesting. Two sports icons died in back-to-back days this week. You had Arnold Palmer dying at age 87. And... Wow, it was sad. There's something comforting about someone living a full, fruitful life, of course. He was 87. He had this amazing existence. He did everything you'd want to do in a life. So, you know, it's sad. It's still heartbreaking, but sad. But Miami Marlins pitcher Jose Fernandez, age 24, died in a boating accident this past week. And I just found it crushing. And I've never interviewed him. I don't know Jose Fernandez. I certainly covered in my day my fair share of athlete deaths, ranging from Daryl Kyle with the St. Louis Cardinals to Mike Darr with the Padres. And, you know, there's something really striking about an athlete dying, and especially a kid this young, 24 years old, Cuban immigrant, tried getting to this country three different times unsuccessfully before reaching it, saved his mother from drowning in one of those efforts, was sent to jail in Cuba at age 14 in another one of those efforts, and became an American citizen. And it was just this amazing story and this really sort of hopeful story, and a very charismatic, some would say cocky, very cocky kid, great pitcher. And I just always think, and I used to think this when I covered sports, how jarring it is when an athlete dies in his prime, because number one, you're used to seeing him regularly. Number two, it feels like he's part of your life if you follow that team or you follow sports. And number three, there's just something uncomfortable about someone that young and that vivacious.
Well, it's a loss of potential. And I do think it would be terrible to see a 24-year-old in his prime die in a senseless accident. But when you hear his backstory and all the struggles he went through to then die in a boat accident, you know, being so successful and being in the major leagues, it's just really heartbreaking.
And so I guess my question for you, your kid is a huge fan of the Marlins or whatever. This happens every now and then where an athlete dies. Your kid is a huge fan. Your kid is 10 years old and he has his Jose Fernandez jersey and he has his Marlins hat and this guy dies. How do you handle that? How do you handle that when your son wakes up to that news?
Well, I mean, I think it's terrible news, but I'm not one for shielding kids from the idea and concept of death. I think a lot of parents go out of their way to pretend like death doesn't exist or to shield them from, you know, so a neighbor being sick or dying or a grandparent, or they don't send the kids to the funeral. But I think that just exacerbates the fear of death. It's part of life. It's sad. We should teach kids how to grieve and honor their hero and talk about it and be able to cry about it. But I think you just tell them.
I just remember as a kid being really, and still, death is one of those things, as you know, I've never dealt with very comfortably. And this idea that you're this guy and one day you exist and you're vivacious and you're excited and you're living the life and the dream, you're living the dream, and the next day you're gone. And I'm a guy who likes quotes, and the quote, you know, God laughs at those who make plans, I always like. And I just think you never know what's going to happen. You just never do.
Yep. So that should teach you to live life to the fullest every single day.
It's hard, but
don't be like sad and down about the fact that you might die and waste your time here. You might as well live your life and enjoy it.
That's a Rihanna and T.I. song. Just live your life. I love that song.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay. What you got?
Okay. Well, I discovered a site called I Love to Watch You Play.
Thanks.
And I don't love to watch you play.
Oh.
And it's all about how parents are ruining youth sports for kids and how the worst part of sports for kids is the ride home and how they only want to hear, I just love to watch you play, as opposed to what you could have done when you missed that ball or whatever. Anyway, that's an aside. But I saw this article about daddy ball. Have you ever heard of daddy ball?
I have not.
Yeah, I hadn't either. But once I explain the concept, you'll know it right away. It's basically when the coach plays his son for all the coveted positions. The son of the coach bats first, third, you know, or he rarely sits on the bench. He's the quarterback or the running back, or he gets all the plays, you know. And everyone whose kid plays youth sports has run into this. Would you agree?
Oh, without a doubt.
Right. And even when you were a coach, you had that on the mind when you were trying to do the lineup or...
I always had the opposite, though.
Exactly. You always worked hard. You were so concerned about that. In fact, our kid probably suffered because you tried...
But he was very understanding about it, and I actually think it was a little lesson for him. We would talk about it, and I'd say, I almost have to be more unfair to you because it just wouldn't be right for me to favor you. So in a way, if it seems it's the opposite, it just might be. Anyway.
Right. So, I mean, we've all seen it happen. And sometimes we just feel powerless. There's not much you feel like you can do about it. You know, the coaches are volunteers. They're not getting paid. It is a tough job, as you know, to corral, you know, 9 and 10-year-olds to sit quietly on the bench or to wait for their turn. And it's a tough job. But when coaches and their assistant coaches favor their kids, then all the other kids miss out on the learning opportunities and compound that season after season, year after year. Those kids that, you know, are always in the outfield or on the bench, miss out on playing time that would keep them in the game. Because now I'm thinking our son, he's going to be out of the game soon because the kids, well, we've talked about this, they're playing year round, you know, they're getting coaches, private coaches and all this extra stuff. But I think that our kids lose opportunities so that, you know, the good kids just keep getting better and get more coach, more time because their parents are the coaches.
Well, I also think it's just a jarring lack of perspective where it's just, the thing is, it just doesn't matter that much. And that's what always gets me. And it's funny, we've talked about this with different guests on this show, with AJ Hawk, with Sean Green. And I feel like if you work in sports, like I have for a long time, like athletes do, a lot of times you have the opposite perspective of these guys who come from the law firm, from 60 hours a week at the law firm, and they put so much into youth sports, into developing their kids. Winning and losing takes this really unhealthy obsession in your mind a little bit. And it's just easy to get lost. So I try really hard to have empathy for our kids' youth coaches because I realize for a lot of them, this is their release and this is their sort of experience. And they're living through their kids. They are living vicariously through their kids. And I'm not saying it's right because it's not, but I think it's a very common thing and it's very easy to get caught up in. And, but it's not my place as a parent to, unless it's really egregious, like you said, these guys are, they're assistants. I mean, they're volunteers are just doing this for kicks. So it's not my place to really.
Well, it kind of is our place because we've had it in the past where our son sat out three innings and other people sat out one or none. I mean, that's just not
sure.
Cool. Or when it was flag football last year and our kid made like one play.
All right. I'll say this though. Like this season, Emmett's playing baseball and the coach is excellent. Excellent. But I would say like Emmett always plays. They'll put him at second base for an inning. They'll put him in right field. They'll put him in left field. Those are the positions he would play. You're not going to put him at third base. You're not going to play him at shortstop. They're not going to play him at first. They probably won't catch him. They'll never pitch him. Personally, I don't like it. I think he should be able to experience. He's 9 years old. He should be able to experience different positions.
Well, that was the thing that one of the things they said in the article that, I don't know, they talked to some major league coach. And basically they're saying that major league coaches take more risks when their numbers don't look good than little league coaches who are up, you know, they feel like they need to be up 10 to 0 to put in, you know, someone like our son at first base
exactly.
Or something like that.
Exactly. And I actually had a talk again. I think the coach we have this year is excellent. I really do. He's great. I had a talk with his wife and we were talking about it. She said, you know, he really finds it. Winning is important to him. Right. And she said, you know, because she thinks it's important that the kids experience winning. Mm-hmm. And I can appreciate that. I actually can appreciate that. But I think winning without the experiences that should come along with Little League, meaning every now and then you take the kid who's not that great and you put him at first base or third base, I think it's a little hollow. That's my opinion.
Alrighty. So what do you got coming up in the news?
Oh, I have a great one. I love this. Obviously, you know, we were gone during much of the Colin Kaepernick issue, which is really fascinating and kind of captured America quizzically, but it did. And there's a guy in Turlock, California. Been there?
Nope.
Want to go there?
I don't know. I never even heard of it.
Home of Sean Hansen. And Sean Hansen is a volunteer assistant coach in the Trans Valley Youth Football League. And he was kneeling during the Star Spangled Banner while wearing his red number 7 49ers Kaepernick jersey. Now, this goes back to something he used to say to me when I was in my 20s. What kind of loser wears a sports jersey, which I haven't in a long time.
Okay, but if you want to wear a Colin Kaepernick one, I'll allow it.
Okay, so the league president, this guy's name, Sean Hansen, the league president, John Nixon, banned Hansen from being on the field due to his protests. He said, now, a few interesting things here. Hansen is a air traffic controller, was a air traffic controller in the Air Force, right? Which is kind of interesting. So he has military experience. And during the games, just during the anthems, these kids are 10 and 11, I think, he takes a knee and holds his fist up. And he got banned. They said, you can't do that on the field. What are your thoughts? Because it's not black and white. This one is not black and white. Where it's like, that's an obvious one. You know, like, it's an interesting one.
I think there isn't a rule that says you have to stand at attention with your hand over your heart for the national anthem. There's no rule.
Sure. But I'm saying, now I actually think, my problem is sometimes I feel like we miss a really good chance for a lesson. right? Like, here's actually a good lesson. Like, this guy, so why are you kneeling? Why are you lifting, raising your fist? One interesting thing to talk about, an interesting thing to talk about with kids. So what exactly are you doing by banning him from doing it? Like, what lesson is there?
Some people think that he's teaching a bad lesson to the kids, that he's being disrespectful to something that represents our country. So to them, the lesson is terrible, and we shouldn't teach that lesson.
We see
it differently. We see different lessons with the Fists of Freedom and kneeling for the national anthem. But other people see that as completely disrespectful, and we should never teach that to kids.
You are a complete and total sucker for Fists of Freedom, aren't you?
I sure am.
We even have that picture hanging up in our house.
That's correct.
Yeah. I think parents are wrong on this. I actually think this is I'll take this a little broader. I think this is really a missed opportunity that when we tell people, when we get so stuck, caught up in, you can't do this, you can't do this, oh, this is so disrespectful. I just think there's an interesting conversation to have. And I actually think Colin Kaepernick, whether this was his goal or not, has caused a lot of really interesting conversations across America about how we feel about protest, how we feel about the flag.
What do you say as kids? Like, you know, oh, it's a free country. You know, this country is founded on freedom. And to me, if you can't decide how you want to respect the flag and how you want to handle the national anthem, then our country really isn't based on freedom. That's like the most minute freedom. You should have the ability to take a knee during a song if you so choose. You should have the opportunity not to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance if you so choose. Like, that's the freedom of our country. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to look at the person. But to me, if you don't like the lesson, I certainly wouldn't fire him and I certainly wouldn't talk about it. I would just ignore it.
I also want to say, like, we are, not to get too political here, but we're a weird people. I would say we are a weird people. We have a presidential election going on right now. One of the candidates dodged the draft multiple times. And I can't even pin it.
I knew there was no way you could get through this without the
election. But I just want to say, Bill Clinton did the same thing. Like, they dodged the draft, right? Mm-hmm. And these people are taking their stances on Colin Kaepernick, and people support them. And I always think, like, we just don't, like, what Colin Kaepernick is doing is taking a social position on something. He's not killing anyone. He's not disrespecting soldiers directly. He's saying, I don't feel good about this country right now, and this is how I'm going to make a statement. And it's such a chance for a really good dialogue that we blow it too often. It kind of sickens me.
Well, I think in this country, we don't have an ability to talk to people who take strong opinions who are different from ours.
Sure don't.
And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. It's just, I mean, our politicians can't talk to each other. Neighbors can't talk to each other. I definitely steer clear of politics with people I don't know because I am afraid it's going to get out of hand.
You and I are very different in this one.
Yeah, you have a very good ability of opening the dialogue, but I think most people don't.
Because I actually like listening to people and hearing. I do like hearing what people say, and I don't have to always yell at someone. One of our friends in this week's Q&A on my website is someone who sells guns for a living. And if you told me before we moved to New York that I'd have a friend who sells guns, I'd say that's crazy. But I've had these talks with him, and I just find him really interesting, and I find his take on guns fascinating. And I think there is room for that if we allow it, and too often we don't.
Yep.
What else you got?
Well, I don't know if you saw, but there was a viral video making its way around of this 9-year-old rugby player. I kind of want to say it's in Australia, but I am not really sure. But the video is a series of videos of him basically mowing down the kids on the rugby field. And, you know, at some point the adults are laughing. At some point they're, you know, kind of like, uh-oh. But the kid's amazing. He's such an athlete. He's totally, you know, in a different class than these other kids. And one of the complaints that many parents online seem to be making is that the kid shouldn't be playing on the field with those other kids because he's so much bigger. Even though they're all 9-year-olds, he's so much bigger and he's so much more skilled that he should be playing with kids his own size. What do you think about that?
I think yes. I think there's a real risk of injury, which I think is a big thing. And if you look, if somewhere out there, there's a 9-year-old who's 6'7", hypothetically, okay? There's some kid out there who's ridiculously tall. There's no reason he should be playing basketball with other 9-year-olds. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
But do you think a 9-year-old can play with 14-year-olds?
It depends on his physicality.
Well, forget it. How about his maturity? Emotional maturity?
Of playing sports?
Being able to... Yeah, do you think you can handle tough kids on the court?
Well, I think we could bump him up to 11. I'm not saying we have to throw him all the way up to 14, but I think we could put him, if he is physically dominant, and it's ridiculous, and there's no point of it all. I just don't see a reason. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, they mentioned that this kid is a really sweet kid. He probably wants to play with his friends. You bump him up to, you know, assume he's not this kid that wants to, like, get a college scholarship. He just wants to play with his friends. You got to bump him up to 11 with kids he doesn't know. I mean, think of our daughter. She has to walk into a party where there's older kids, even, like, one grade older. I'm like, oh, there's a nice kid. That kid's in ninth grade. Oh, no, that kid's in ninth grade. Like, I can't talk to that kid. I mean, you're going to take this 9-year-old boy and stick him with 11-year-old kids that he doesn't know or doesn't want to play with?
I feel like life is imperfect.
Yeah, so keep him on the field, I say.
You really think so?
Yeah.
In rugby, a sport where kids get hurt, you're going to put a guy who is significantly bigger, stronger, faster, significantly, not just like slightly, like different level. You're going to put him out there with a bunch of 9-year-olds and run him over?
I think there should be safety aspects of the game. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, let's say there's a 9-year-old that's hitting home runs, you know?
Different.
And totally a kid different. In the outfield could get hit by the ball because he's not paying attention because he's a little kid. And this kid, like, whacks the ball at him. I mean.
All right, well, what if you're at a library and a really tall kid reaches up, grabs a book, the book falls off the
top shelf. Thank you for reaching the book, tall person.
You are 5 feet tall. Yeah. Actually, 4'11". Okay, go ahead.
All right. So next up, we have a little news story.
You know what? I want to talk about your Tower Garden, my Juice Plus, because I have to say, for those who haven't heard of the Tower Garden, it's a vertical aeroponic garden.
Yep. Do you even know what that means?
Yeah, of course. It brings you all the joy of gardening without any of the hassle. It uses recycled water, which is great in California because we're dry as a stick. It doesn't take up any room. It has a pleasant waterfall sound.
It does.
The lettuce and vegetables grow faster than in the ground. If you want to learn more about the absolutely amazing those are your words right there. Absolutely amazing Tower Garden.
I do think it's amazing.
Contact the lovely, talented Lisa Blaisdell by checking out her Tower Garden website at
Blaisdell, BLAISDELL.towergarden.com. And don't forget to mention the sports parent to receive 5 free seedlings with your order of a Tower Garden. Alrighty, so what old news do you have to discuss?
All right, so for people who are listening for the first time, we always take an old news story about parenting and kind of bring it up. And this is a good one. This is from the Sumter Banner, Sumter, South Carolina, March 15th, 1848. A child attacked by a rat. On Tuesday evening, while other members of the family were in the adjoining room, the infant daughter of Mr. J.A. Schermerhorn of Lambertville in this state, who was lying in a cradle, was heard to cry violently, and upon searching for the cause, it was ascertained that a large rat had entered the apartment and attacked the child, who was found covered with blood. The voracious animal had bitten one hand entirely through in 2 places, which is much swollen and inflamed.
Gross.
But the good news is she lived. The bad news is this is from 1848 and she no longer lives.
Well, it's funny that I didn't know which story you were pulling in. I was waiting in the doctor's office today with my dad and I saw, I think it was Time magazine. And on the cover, it was about like famous siblings who all came from very little, but in diverse fields managed to be very successful and come from nothing. They had the Rahm Emanuel's family and whatever. Anyway, one of the families, they were talking about how they grew up, they had to sleep in cocoons. Like they had to wrap themselves up like hot dogs so that they didn't get eaten by rats. And this was probably like 30 years ago. So it's not so different. I think there are lots of people in lots of inner cities who are living with rats and roaches in public housing and without other options of where to go.
And we have a vicious, vicious cockapoo.
Yeah, it's not quite the same. I don't know. It always breaks my heart for people like that, you know, we have bugs we call the exterminator, but there are lots of people who are living surrounded by bugs and rats and things, and they have children, and they would like to have a better environment for their kids, but there's no other alternative.
I agree. Anyway, we always wrap up this show with our final debate. It's called the 1-minute wrap-up debate. Clever. And today we're doing our favorite athletes. So today's debate is legendary tennis supernova Billie Jean King versus the greatest athlete to ever come out of my hometown of Mayo Pack, New York, Dave Fleming. Catherine, you're going to go first.
No, you're going to go first.
All right, I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Is it 1 minute or 30 seconds for each of us? I forgot.
I think it was 30 seconds each.
All right, 30 seconds. Here I go. Ready, set, go. Dave Fleming grew up the street from me in Mayo Pack, New York. He went 17-11 with the Seattle Mariners as a rookie and gave hope, inspiration, to the kids of Mayo Pack. I mean, that is all we talked about. And you've been to Mayo Pack. There's nothing, literally nothing to do in that town. So for one, two, three summers of Major League glory, Dave Fleming showed all of us that we could accomplish our dreams. So one day I decided I would pitch in the major leagues. And because Dave Fleming did it, I
didn't do
it.
You became a sports writer.
But I love Dave Fleming, and the guy's a man, and God bless him. He's a teacher now, and he gets points for that. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, this is going to be easy.
Go.
Billie Jean King, 39 Grand Slam singles, doubles, and mixed doubles titles. She founded Women's Tennis Association, and she's responsible for women's tennis today as we know it. She talked a lot about equal pay for women, willingness to leave the establishment for her point. She's a leader in the fight for equality and recognition for the LGBT community. She was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, highest honor to a civilian, and she's a hero on and off the court. They even named a stadium for her at the U.S. Open. She, like, way outranks Dave Fleming. Sorry, Dave Fleming.
I think I forgot to mention that Dave Fleming came in third in 1992 Rookie of the Year voting for the American League.
Yeah, yeah. Good for you on Dave Fleming, but it's not even close.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'd like to know who you think won the debate. Tweet us at The Family Coach or at Jeff Perlman. Don't forget to use the hashtag TheSportsParent so we can see your comments. Find us on Facebook at Jeff Perlman, and Catherine, you can find at The Family Coach. We'll put links to the information about topics we discussed on our show on our website, thesportsparentpodcast.com. Jeff's website is jeffperlman.com, and you can check out his amazing blog and take a look at the Quaz, which is Jeff's Q&A series.
Check out Catherine's website at thefamilycoach.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, please, to subscribe to The Sports Parent on iTunes because we're back and better than ever.
Yep.
So you don't miss an episode. And if you liked our show, please go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a review if you can. If you do that, we will come to your house and clean it. Here's how you do it. Search iTunes for The Sports Parent. Click on the podcast, not the individual episode. When it comes up, you should see details next to the logo. Next to the details, it should say reviews and ratings. Click that heading. Add a comment. Just give us a 5-star rating if you feel comfortable. Also, if you have topics you'd like to discuss with us on the show, or you'd like us to discuss on the show, either or, send us an email to Catherine at CatherineWithAC@thefamilycoach.com. Audio production assistance from the great Andrew Perella. Music by the even greater MC White Owl and Static Selecta. And until next week's episode of The Sports Parent, win or lose, take your kids for ice cream after the game.
So that went pretty well.